I'll be ready. So we're opening up to the other attendees. And it's up to you, the other presenters too, but I can move you guys over to the side as participants so that you're not on the screen while each individual is presenting, and then I can just move you back over when your item comes up. Does that work? Or okay, I'll go ahead and do that now. Right, I'm not seeing BCAT just yet, but oh, yep, they're all, everybody's on. Okay, I think we should be ready to go.
Okay, thank you. Ms. Wilson, are we recording?
We are.
Thank you. Good morning, I'm Susan Drummond, Kitsap County Hearing Examiner. Today is Thursday, August 13, 2020, about 9 a.m. We have three items on today's agenda. It's my understanding that the what was originally agenda item A, the Parkside Lane preliminary plat matter number 19-04880, has been canceled. But we have remaining agenda items B through D. The first is the Freedman Shoreline conditional use permit. That is matter number 20-00116. The next matter is the Port of Indianola dock improvements. That's a request for shoreline substantial development permit, matter number 19-05283. And then the final item on today's agenda is the Camp Union Saloon relocation with retail area, and that's a conditional use permit request, matter number 19-05612. So we are holding a remote hearing as we have been doing for the past couple of months. The order of procedure is roughly the same as if we were live. The planning department presents first. They provide a summary of the proposal, and for each of the items on the agenda, I have reviewed the staff report and attached exhibits. Following the staff presentation, the applicant will have the opportunity to present, and then we'll open the matter up for public comment, and anyone who has called in or is on the video link and wishes to testify on the proposal may do so, and then the applicant will have an opportunity to address any questions or concerns which arise. I may have questions, and then the planning department may have clarifications. On all of these, we've been keeping the record open for about a week. I suspect that will be the case as well today. So if so, we'll, it would make it August 20th. And we've been doing that just in case there are any technical difficulties and individuals were, for whatever reason, unable to call in online. Although we have, things have worked pretty smoothly. We've not had those issues. Are there any questions from anyone on procedure? Okay, hearing none, let's go ahead and hear the first proposal today. This is the Freedman Shoreline Conditional Use Permit request, and this is the proposal to short plat divide a lot into two lots. Who's presenting for that? Ms. Barnhart, is that you? If you could state your name for the record.
Kathleen Barnhart.
And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
I do.
Thank you. All right, as I mentioned, I have reviewed the staff report and the attached exhibits 1 through 30, and I have 31 now, the staff presentation, but hadn't looked at it yet.
All right, I'll go ahead and share my screen here. Okay, so today I'm here to present the Freedman Short Plat subdivision. Because it is a shoreline parcel, it first must undergo a shoreline administrative conditional use and a shoreline exemption permit. So that is what I'm here today to present. The proposal is located at 9399 Mickleberry Road Northwest in Silverdale. This is in Commissioner District Number 3, which is in Central Kitsap. Location is shown here on the map. So the Freedmans have requested to subdivide their existing shoreline parcel on Dyce Inlet and Silverdale into two residential lots. The short plat process, as I mentioned, first requires this shoreline conditional use permit under the Kitsap County Shoreline Master Program. The existing house and garage are proposed on for Lot A, so those are existing, as well as the existing gravel driveway to these structures will remain and will be the access point for the proposed Lot B as well. And Lot B will provide for one additional single family residence. The single family residential development is exempt from a shoreline substantial development permit. So the staff report is really written to cover both that analysis for both the subdivision as well as for the single family residence. In the shoreline code, this is in the Urban Conservancy shoreline designation, again, which is why this conditional use permit is required prior to the other actions. It will need to meet a 100 foot standard shoreline buffer plus 15 foot building setback. There are mapped wetlands and a floodplain on the property, which have been addressed through the shoreline no net loss report, as well as the floodplain analysis that's included in that. Those requirements as well. In the urban restricted zone, we have 1 to 5 dwelling units per acre, and of course, because this is a 2.11 acre parcel, that's 2 to 6 dwelling units, and of course, 2 are proposed. They will be meeting the 100 foot shoreline buffer and 15 foot building setback. There is an offsite wetland to the west of Lot A with a 110 foot buffer. This is affecting really the existing development only, and so that buffer is being met. And just a quick summary of the conditions that have been proposed on this project. There will need to be a full drainage review through a site development activity permit for the required improvements to the proposed plat. At the time of the site development application, they will need to meet the standards of Title 15, the Flood Hazard Areas Code. This will include a flood elevation certificate to meet the building requirements and a FEMA habitat assessment. A cultural resources report was requested by the Suquamish tribe and shall be provided at the time of the SDAP application due to the project's proximity to known or potential cultural resources. Frontage improvements are required, and this will consist of 10-foot travel lane and vertical curb, gutter, and 5-foot sidewalk along the property frontage on Mickleberry Road. And I already mentioned the project will meet all the critical area and shoreline buffers and setbacks. I would like to recommend a change to condition number 27 at the request of the fire marshal. It should read, if fire flow is not available, please add the following note to the face of the plat.
Just to clarify, that's at condition 27, before the quotes automatic fire extinguishers, just add that phrase, if fire flow is not available.
Yeah, if fire flow is not available.
Okay. Thank you, got it.
Yeah, and then I would also like to recommend amending exhibit number 26, the preliminary conditions memo, to reflect the conditions in the staff report that were changed after review, but prior to this hearing, as recommended by the stormwater reviewer, Candy Vickery. So her preliminary conditions memo will need to reflect the actual conditions in the report. So that should be provided.
Okay, and I always looked, I know sometimes conditions do change throughout the process. So I always look at the, whatever the final conditions are, and these are the ones in the staff report with that one modification, is that correct?
Okay. Correct, yes. And on page 2, section 3, paragraph 2, in the SEPA section of the report, I noted that one of the exhibits was not numbered correctly yet, and it should read, a DNS was issued on 7-28-20, exhibit number 27.
Okay.
It had not been filled in, I apologize. And with that, I just briefly go over the findings. You know, that we found that the proposal was consistent with the Kitsap County Comprehensive Plan, complies with the requirements of Title 17 and 22 and other code, and it's not going to be material detrimental to existing or future uses of property in the immediate vicinity, and it is compatible with and incorporates specific features, conditions, or revisions to ensure that it appropriately, it responds appropriately to the existing character, appearance, quality, or development, physical characteristics of the subject property, and the immediate vicinity. So based on the analysis above and then in the staff report, the Department of Community Development recommends that the shoreline conditional use request for the Freedman Short Plat be approved subject to now what are 32 or 31 conditions of the staff report and the amendments presented this morning.
Thank you, Ms. Barnhart. I do not have any questions. Is the applicant online?
It looks like Rick and Kristen Freedman, so I will go ahead and move them over, I believe. There we go.
Mr. and Ms. Freedman, was there anything that either one of you or both wished to add to the staff presentation? Ms. Walston, are they unmuted?
Oh. Looks like they're just coming online, just connecting right now there. Rick and Kirsten, can you hear us okay? It looks like they might have just logged off. They might be going to log back on here. See, it looks like we've got a hand up from Aaron Trampush. I believe he's a representative on the project, so let me go ahead and move him over here. Mr. Trampush, can you hear us all right?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Yes, thank you.
Yes, Mr. Trampush, is there anything that you wanted to add on behalf of the applicant for on the staff to the staff presentation?
No, nothing to add here. It looks like
let me get you to state your name for the record.
Yeah, my name is Aaron Trampush. I work with Shed Architects.
And you just want to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes.
Thank you. And then Trampush, that's just like it's spelled on the screen, T-R-A-M-P-U-S-H.
Correct. I noticed in one portion of that report, my name was Justin in there, so I don't know if it needs to be corrected to Aaron, but that's just a minor thing. Other than that, there's no changes. It looks like they picked up all the suggestions that we wanted incorporated, and everything is looking good on our end.
Okay. So you're there was one minor tweak on the condition in the staff report. With all that, you're comfortable with the conditions, no further changes?
Correct.
Okay. All right. And then it looked like maybe Mr. and Ms. Freedman, I didn't know if they just wanted to listen to the hearing or if they had anything that they wanted to add this morning.
From our conversations, it sounded like they just wanted to listen.
Mr. and Ms. Freedman, I assume you just wanted to listen, but pipe up if you wanted to add anything. All right. Sounds like just in listening mode. So at this point, we'll open this up for public comment. Is there anyone who has signed in or is online who wish to provide comment on this proposal?
We have a few different attendees. If you are logged in via computer, if you just click on the raise hand icon, you can do that. And if you're calling in, *9 will indicate if you'd like to speak. I am not seeing that, so maybe they are here for one of the other hearings later on the agenda.
Let the record reflect that there is not anyone who has indicated that they wish to provide comment on this proposal. So as I noted earlier, we'll be keeping the record open on all of these just in case there's any difficulty with anyone calling in to provide comment. So we'll keep it open. The standard time has been a week, so we'll keep the record open through close of business on Thursday, August 20th. Close of business is 5 p.m. If anyone has any further comment on the proposal, whether that be from the public, the applicant, or the planning department, please provide any additional comment by 5 p.m. on August 20th. And then I am required to issue a written decision within 10 business days of that. That will be emailed to Ms. Wolfson, and then she will forward the decision to the applicant planning department and anyone else who has requested a copy. Just overall, I don't see any concerns with code compliance with this, but I'll make a final decision once the record is closed on this. Does anyone have any procedural questions? All right, hearing none. We are completed with that agenda item. If you've called in for that agenda item and not for any of the others, you're certainly welcome to stay online if you're curious, but there's no requirement to do so. So at this point, we'll move to agenda item C. This is the shoreline substantial development permit request for the Port of Indianola dock improvements. Ms. Vickery, are you presenting on this one?
No, it'll be Tasha Santos. I'm going to move her over
to this one. Okay. All right. Ms. Santos.
Zoom is moving a little bit slowly this morning, so.
Ms. DeSantos, if you could state your name for the record. Oh, wait, we got to unmute her first.
Tasha Santos.
Thank you. And you swear to tell the truth and the truth of perjury in the law of the state of Washington?
I do.
So I have reviewed the staff report and attached exhibits 1 through 34. And I now have the staff report presentation, which I've not reviewed yet, but that's exhibit 35.
Great. Okay, I'm going to attempt to share my screen in one moment. Is that working? It doesn't appear to be.
I am seeing your PowerPoint on my screen.
It doesn't look like it's in the presentation mode though, so. Which is fine, we can just view it this way. So, one moment. Okay, thank you for letting me do that. All right, so again, my name is Tasha Santos and I am a planner with Kitsap County's Department of Community Development. And I'm before you today to present Kitsap County Permit 19-05283. It is a shoreline substantial development permit for the Port of Indianola. And the proposal is to create a new viewpoint at the head of the Indianola dock. The project is located in Indianola in Northern Kitsap, Commissioner District Number 1, and the site is on the northern shoreline of Port Madison Bay, a regulated shoreline of the state. The site is zoned rural residential and is also within the shoreline residential jurisdiction. The surrounding properties are similar zoning, except one parcel to the north is zoned rural commercial, which is the site of the Indianola Country Store. The existing development pattern is generally consistent with rural residential and shoreline residential designations, consisting primarily of single family residential uses. And the property is immediately adjacent to the subject site. On the east and west are single family residential. To the north is the southern terminus of Indianola Road, which is a 40-foot wide county-maintained right-of-way. And to the south is the subject's primary use, which is the Indianola Dock, which extends about 900 feet into the bay. The Indianola Dock, it's an open deck timber and steel dock originally built in 1916. And provided transportation from Indianola to other Puget Sound ports for many years. And the last regular ferry to Indianola was in 1951. The dock was reconstructed in 1971 and has since been maintained and repaired over the years. And today the dock remains a focal point of the community. It serves as a gathering place for residents and visitors. There's an existing planter at the head of the dock, and this is going to be the location of the proposed project and the new viewpoint. Trying to get to the next slide. Okay, a conceptual drawing was submitted with the project or the applicant's project narrative, included as exhibit 2. It shows that the new viewpoint will consist of a expanded landscape planter, an ADA compliant walkway constructed of concrete and wood decking, and also a new wooden bench is proposed. The total project area, I believe, is approximately 320 total square feet. And the existing dock structure and the beach stairs are not proposed to be modified with the project. The proposal is consistent with zoning setbacks and development standards provided in Title 17 Kitsap County Zoning Code. No additional parking is proposed or required by code. There's an existing access to the site directly off Indianola Road, and no new access is proposed. The director has established modified landscape standards per the authority granted in KCC 17.500.027. So the permit has been conditioned to retain the existing perimeter vegetation to maintain the buffer between adjacent properties. The proposal is also consistent with the applicable development standards provided in KCC Title 22, which is Kitsap Shoreline Master Program. The project is subject to both the commercial standards and the standards for recreation and public access. And this includes a minimum 85-foot shoreline buffer measured from the ordinary high watermark of the bay. And the site plan confirms that the project is outside of the required buffer area, therefore no shoreline mitigation is required. A technical memo and analysis drafted by Ben Burke, who is a fish and wildlife biologist, was also submitted and is included as exhibits 6 and 7. And the report confirms that the proposal will result in no net loss of the shoreline ecological functions. A critical area map is included as exhibit number 26, and the proposal is within a mapped geologic hazard area, specifically high erosion and moderate landslide areas. The high erosion is shown in pink and the landslide area shown in tan. And Kitsap County Critical Areas Ordinance identifies a minimum setback of 40 feet from the top of slope in this case, unless otherwise allowed by a geologic assessment. So a geologic report was drafted by Aspect Consulting and submitted with the application. It concluded that the project can be completed as planned without adversely affecting the slope stability or erosion potential at or near the site. The consultant provided recommendations for the construction of the permit, and it has been conditioned to follow these recommendations and will be verified at the time of building permit. The project is not within any other critical areas or buffers as defined by Title 19 of Kitsap County Code. And the project was found to be consistent with the comprehensive plan, Kitsap County Code, and the Shoreline Master Program with no detrimental characteristics. A notice of application was distributed per the procedures in Title 21, allowing for a 14-day public comment period, and the department received no comments. The SEPA determination of non-significance is final, as the appeal period expired May 27th of 2020 and no appeals were filed, and staff recommends approval of this project with 14 conditions as outlined in the provided staff report.
Thank you, Ms. Santos. I do not have any questions. Is the applicant online, or has the applicant called in?
I have a couple of different individuals. I've got Mark Isis, Susan Vinard. I'm not sure who I might be looking for, Tasha, representing.
You would be looking for a Connie Record, a Jeff Henderson, or a Terry Record.
I don't see any of those individuals as attendees, so they might not be logged into this.
Are they unmuted just in case we can allow them to speak up? Oh, wait, I see it.
Oh, that's why there's a third. She's logged in as Tasha Santos. So.
Okay. Oh, that's where the duplicate Ms. Santos came from.
Okay. Can you hear me now? This is Connie Record.
There we go. Can you state your name again for the record?
Connie Record.
Are you going to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes.
Thank you. And your last name is R-E-C-K-O-R-D, is that right?
That's correct.
Is there anything that you wanted to add to Ms. Santos's presentation of the proposal?
No, I think it's pretty comprehensive. I didn't have anything to add.
And any concerns, questions with regard to the proposed conditions?
None at all. No, I've reviewed those and they all appear to be very reasonable.
At this time, we'll open this up for public comment. Is there anyone who has signed in or called in who wish to provide comment on the proposal?
I am not seeing any raised hands, so I believe the other attendees are either just here to listen or might be waiting for the last item on the agenda.
That they wish to provide comment on the proposal. As with our last proposal, though, I will leave the record open through August 20th. That's next week, Thursday, 5 p.m., in case anyone from the public did have difficulty calling in and wish to provide comments. And of course, that comment period is open to the applicant and planning department as well. I myself don't see any concerns with code compliance, but again, I'll wait to close the record to make a written decision, and that written decision is required to be out within 10 business days of the close of the record and will be emailed to Ms. Walston, and then she will forward the decision to the applicant and anyone else who requests a copy. Are there any procedure questions from any of the parties? Okay. All right, thank you all. And again, as with the last proposal, you're welcome to stay online to hear the last item on our agenda, but no requirement to do so if you're not interested in presenting or commenting on our final agenda item, which is agenda item D. This is the Camp Union Saloon relocation with retail area. This is a conditional use permit request, matter number 19-05612. And Ms. Vickery, is this your proposal? Are you presenting on this? Or wait, it looks like maybe Mr. Smith is.
Yes, Mr. Smith will be.
Okay. Mr. Smith, if you can unmute yourself. Mr. Smith, he looks like he still has a mute on his screen there, Ms. Walston. Does he need to do that or?
I am requesting that he unmute now. Mr. Smith, if you're able, you can enter a message in the chat if you're having difficulty with sound or audio. There we go.
Mr. Smith, are you online?
Yes, I am.
Oh, okay. So if you could state your name for the record.
Oh, okay. My name is Jeff Smith. I'm with the Kitsap Department of Community Development.
Ms. Walston, are we recording this voice okay? He's a little low.
Yeah, if you could speak up a little bit, Jeff, or maybe try and bump the volume up on through your speakers.
Is this better?
That's much better. Thank
you. All right.
You swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington, Mr. Smith?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. So I have reviewed the staff report on this proposal, as well as the exhibits, which I have 1 through 26, and I now have 27, which is the staff presentation.
Okay. All right. My name is Jeff Smith. I represent the Department of Community Development. The proposal today is for a conditional use permit for Elizabeth Thoma. The request is for approval of a conditional use permit for the relocation of the Camp Union Saloon with a retail space. The project consists of a vacant property with the original proposal was for a 4,920 square foot building, which approximately 4,000 would have been for the saloon and then 1,000 feet for the retail space. That has been worked, I think that's been kind of adjusted a little bit so to reduce the fire area. So fire flow or sprinklers aren't required. The proposal includes associated off-street parking and includes pedestrian access to the parking lot and generally to the road. Drinking water is provided by Kitsap PUD number one, and also it's served by an on-site sewage disposal system. The subject property is zoned rural commercial, and it's reviewed for consistency with the character of the surrounding residential neighborhood. The request was reviewed for consistency with Title 17 zoning, Title 12 stormwater, Title 18 the environment, and the hearing examiner is the review authority for the request pursuant to the conditional use permit chapter 17.55040 and also the land use procedures code. Okay. So I have to share this. Do you want to share this, Amanda, my PowerPoint?
You want me to share that?
Yeah, please.
Okay, yeah, and we'll do that and then we'll just click right on through. Hold on. It's always slower than you'd like it to be, right?
Yes.
All right, there we go. So, are you seeing that, Jeff?
No.
That takes us through.
Oh, okay.
There we go.
Okay, let's try this.
Just let me know if you want me, is this the slide that you wanted? Do you want me to move forward?
No, it's showing the email. How if I do this?
So is everyone else, does everyone else see the presentation or are you seeing?
I'm just seeing the list. It looks like on Mr. Smith's computer.
All right.
Okay. Okay, change, back. The subject property is located in central Kitsap. It's located on more or less on the west of Silverdale. As you can see that to the east is Lake Symington, and Seabeck along Hood Canal is located to the west. Subject property is against sandwiched between Hildred Place Northwest, and also there's another easement going up to the north. So change. Property is approximately 1.78 acres. It's adjacent to surrounding properties of similar size. Change. Subject property is vegetated with a combination of conifers, an understory, and includes various maybe scotch broom and other things. And there's some trails that have been put in there by surrounding neighbors. The saloon is actually to the east in that residential, into that rural commercial zone. You can see the easement. Excuse me, that was, yeah, Gillard Place Northwest is the easement. It's about a 20-foot roadway within a 40-foot easement that goes across the property. So as you can see, it's surrounded by the commercial to the east and residential to the north and residential to the west and south. And includes stands of trees around the perimeter. Okay, change. The subject property doesn't include any critical areas. The identified areas are purple are seismic areas, which is unusual at this point in time as far as there's lacking critical areas. Okay, change. Subject property has a comprehensive plan designation of rural commercial. It's same as the zoning designation. And it's also surrounded by the same comp plan designation as rural residential and rural protection. Okay, change. The zoning is the same as the comprehensive plan designation. Okay. Subject property perimeter here is this, it's required to have a 50-foot setback from any residential zone with no hard stand in the area. You can see the actual location of the easement along the west side. It has access off of Northwest Holly Road. And Holly Road has a federal designation as rural minor arterial. So it does provide the roadway provides a major connection from the Highway 3 all the way to Seebeck. The road consists of a 60-foot right-of-way, but has like 11 to 12-foot travel lanes, and also two gravel shoulders, 3 to 5 feet in width on either side. The property will have a commercial road approach onto Northwest Holly Road. The site plan does show as far as there's some little bit of encroachment from the development to the east as far as going onto the property. That area is expected to be landscaped. Okay, change. This is the architectural elevation of the use. As you can see, the main building will be the saloon, and the little gray area or the gray building will be the retail space. And this will be, my understanding, it's construction on slab type construction. There's going to be an outside seating area on the east side. And the intent is that there'd be no live music or under, there'd be people just sitting out there, and there'd be a 6-foot fence on the around the perimeter to block noise and visibility. So it'll be 90 degree parking along the front. So one of the elements is that the applicant's proposing landscaping along the north side. So that'll provide additional screening and should mitigate some noise. This is, even though this area has been identified as a natural vegetation area along the north side, but this gives you an idea where the on-site sewage disposal system has to go. And generally after it's installed, the vegetation will be remain and that gets established. However, along this area, there'll be a fence that will be constructed along the north side to provide additional screening. And the area, and you can see here's the fence along the north side. It's as it's identified, and it'll remain in natural vegetation. The west side will also remain in natural vegetation. However, this area has been identified as a reserved rain field area. So until then, that will remain, and there'll be additional landscaping planning along the roadside buffer or the front yard setback on the highway. It's 20 feet, and it's also 20 feet on the east side as well against the commercial zone. As you can see, the parking field, it includes landscaping within the parking area and provides landscape islands as required by code. The parking meets the minimum requirements and also meets the requirements for internal landscaping per code for pursuant to 17500 and 417490. So the proposal is reviewed through several elements, and is the building design consistent with the rural character? And yes, it is. It's a rural commercial building with a parapet, and everything is screened on the roof. If there's going to be mechanical equipment, we don't know where it's going to be, but it has a large parapet, so it should screen everything from the road. Like I said, it's a slab, most likely a slab on grade. The business has already been located next door, so it's not going to be a major mind shift as far as having this moved over to the next property. So, because the department has not received complaints about the business that I know of, the business is in good standing with the department. The access, as far as transportation side of things, will have a commercial access. It'll be located in the center of the property, and also the setbacks will be landscaped, so that will screen the off-street parking. The average daily trips proposed for this business is 35, and the peak hour trips during the evening is 18. So it doesn't. We don't expect this to be a major impact to the local road network in the neighborhood. Generally speaking, the rural road network has quite a bit of capacity. The hours of operation will be 10 a.m. to midnight, Monday through Wednesday. And then it'll be on Fridays, they'll close at 2 a.m. And it'll be Saturday, it'll be 8 a.m. to 2 a.m. And Sunday, 8 a.m. to midnight. So the hours will be adjusted to and won't be open till 2 o'clock every night.
And just to clarify, it's on, you didn't mention Thursday. Is Thursday in the Monday through Wednesday block or on the weekend?
Yeah, it's Monday through Thursday. Gotcha. And then Fridays till 2 a.m. and then Saturday till 2 a.m. and Sunday till midnight. And based on the, as far as the visitors of this establishment, it's not like heavily packed all the time. Like I said, the during around 6 o'clock is probably when it's the most busiest. As far as screening, the applicant's proposing a landscape plan and landscaping on the replanting that area on the east side where that's encroaching, and also including a roadside buffer along the front property line, where right now the other place next door doesn't have that. The landscaping or vegetation that's being retained will help provide some kind of a noise abatement if to some degree. And the fence, the wood panel fence will go a long ways to also reduce any noise based on its noise travels line of sight. And everything is mainly going to be taking place inside the building. The outside seating area is like 5 tables, and there shouldn't be a lot of noise generated there if there's no music or other things going on outside. And that's a statement by the applicant that it's just going to be a low key area outside. I assume when the weather is good that they'll go out there. It's not going to be like a beer garden or anything like that. So far as findings, the project is consistent with the comprehensive plan goals and policies, and will serve a limited service area, and will only serve the immediate rural neighborhood. The proposal is not materially detrimental to the existing and future uses in the uses or property in the immediate area. Number one, this business has been in the neighborhood for a long period of time. The performance standards that are being applied to this business is going to be greater than what's there now. So it includes with all provisions as far as landscaping, off-street parking, will include landscaping. One of the other things that will take place is that the landscaping, once it's mature, will provide screening of headlights as vehicles maneuver around the parking lot, so reduce glare on the road. So the proposal is compatible and incorporates specific features and conditions to ensure it's responds appropriately to the existing character and appearance of the quality of the development and physical characteristics of the subject property. Yes, it does fit there. It's not overbuilt. It fits into the property, and it will should not impact the surrounding properties. There'll be some impacts, but based on their proposal, it should be mitigated with the natural vegetation to be retained, and the landscaping plan, fencing. There will be some glare from the headlights as it cues to go on their commercial approach, or might shine onto the home next door or across the road, but that can't be prevented. The department gave proper public notice, and the department did not receive any public comments at this point in time. So staff recommends approval with the based on the conditions of approval staff report, and it's open for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. I do not have any questions. Is the applicant present?
I'm going to go ahead and move over. Everybody, I think, is here for this.
I'm representing the applicant.
Okay, if you could state your name for the record.
My name is Jeff Coombe, C-O-O-M-B-E.
C-O-O. Can you spell the rest of it? C-O-O.
M-B-E.
Oh, okay. Thank you. And you swear to tell the truth under penalty of perjury under the laws of the state of Washington?
Yes, I do.
Thank you. Is there anything that you wanted to add to Mr. Smith's summary of your proposal, or the applicant's proposal?
No, the applicant agrees to all the conditions of approval, and we look forward to working with the county to make another successful project. Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Coombe. At this point, we'll open this up for public comment. Is there anyone who has called in or signed in who wished to provide testimony on this proposal? Ms. Walston, everyone's unmuted, and I'm not hearing anything.
Yep, I'm not seeing any raised hands, but everybody's able to unmute if they like. So I'm guessing just no additional comments.
Okay. I am not hearing anything either. Let the record reflect that there was no one who has indicated a wish to comment. As with the two other proposals, though, we'll keep the record open for a week just in case anyone from the public had difficulty calling in. So that would be 5 p.m. on August 20th, Thursday. Any further comments should be submitted to Ms. Walston, and then she will forward those comments on to me. Overall, I don't see any issues with this. It looks like the CUP criteria are being met with the proposal, but I'll wait to make a final decision until once the record is closed and I've reviewed all comment that has been submitted. Then, of course, my decision is required to be out within 10 business days of the close of record, and will be emailed to Ms. Walston, who will provide the decision to the planning department, the applicant, and anyone else who requests a copy. Are there any procedural questions from public, planning department, or applicant?
I have none.
No? Okay. All right. I think that's it. Ms. Walston, is there anything else we need to address this morning?
I don't believe so. I think that covers it all.
Okay. We've covered all three agenda items. Thank you all. Appreciate your attendance and participation in this remote hearing process. I hope to be back live soon, but we'll see on that. We are adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.